folks who have not been here yet, and I'm glad to see you. It's some good things, and I'm so glad to have Sister Gail Brown with us this morning. She's been faithful to help us here in this revival, and maybe she'll come back tonight and sing for us.
Amen.
Come back tonight, Sister Gail.
Yeah.
All that's right.
Pray.
Maybe another day.
Yeah.
I noticed our time is just a little short. All right, would you like to learn how to get along with everybody all the time?
Yes.
Would like to, well, then if you won't do this, what is for you? I have a few more outlines. Looks like about five maybe. Right there. If anybody didn't get one, you want one. You want one, Sister Phil? All right, give them out, darling. Lift up your hands. Sister Phil will help you with it. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Father, I just pray today that you will help us to reach into this message, to be able to help others to know, Lord, to learn more from your word today than we ever learned before. Let this sink down in the heart and change lives.
Yes.
And we thank you, Savior. Hallelujah. We're jogging on our prayer track. Our prayer track, the outline is the Lord's Prayer. And we have learned under each line, which is a topic and has subjects underneath that. And we've learned from each one. And today, our subject is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
Oh. That's Matthew 6:12. You know, in a marriage, if the husband and wife will learn to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, that marriage will grow.
Yeah.
But if you never do learn to say this, then it will just keep shrinking and declining. That probably won't be a marriage.
That's right.
I ask you, what difference does it make who wins the argument?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now that's true of a marriage relationship, and it's true of every relationship there is.
Yeah.
Everyone, everywhere. We can't do anything unless we are able to forgive. All right. If we want God to forgive us our sins, then we must be able to forgive, amen, as we have been forgiven.
Right.
Oh, this is how to get along with everybody all the time. Right underneath this Lord's Prayer, so-called, Jesus put an addendum on there. He put it right there, said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Father which is in heaven will not forgive you.
That's the word, yes.
Oh, Lord, help me. I want you to forgive me.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord. Now, again and again, we are told in the Bible an attitude of unforgiveness is a reason for unanswered prayer. You know that prayer you've not been able to get through to save you?
Come on.
In another place, we're told that if we have an attitude of unforgiveness, we cannot be healed. Now, this is hard, but this is straight and this is true. If we have failed to forgive someone, then we can ask all we please and we'll never be healed for what God has first. He will not bless. But we can do something about it. Isn't that wonderful? We can. We have an advocate with the Father. Glory to God. We must forgive those who sin against us. Well, how in the world am I going to be able to forgive that old woman that run my children down in the ground and called them holy rollers and was just mean to them? First of all, we're going to ask God to forgive us.
Yeah.
When we start in on our prayer every day, we're going to ask God to forgive us. There may be something there that we don't know. Maybe we need to say, like Job, that which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. You see, it's easy for me to see what you fail to be. But it's hard for me to see where I fail to be. And it works the other way, too. It's easy to see somebody else's faults, but we cannot see our own. And King David also had this same trouble. He said, Lord, if I have regarded iniquity in my heart, if there's something there that I don't know about, forgive me. And at this time, while we're praying and we ask him to forgive us, if anything surfaces, you know, in our consciousness, then we immediately confess it to God and ask his forgiveness. For we didn't know that we were trespassing in that place. Oh, my. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can somebody say amen?
Amen. Come on.
Now, that word confess also means to speak the same thing, or in other words, we are agreeing with God to turn away from faults and failures and sins that we know are there. Now, sometimes you have to be careful because Satan will come back and accuse you of things that you've been forgiven of for years and years and years. And he'll double back and say, what about that? But we know what to do about him, don't we? All we do is say, now, Lord, you forgave me that. And if it's not under the blood, let's put it under there now, Jesus. Oh, my. In Romans 8:1, there's a good verse we can hold on to. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Or is there there's no judgment against them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, provision has to be made for the flesh, and we know that it does, but we don't have to let the flesh rule our lives. We need to feed that Spirit till it gets big enough to rule over the flesh. Paul himself said, I keep under my body, because if I don't, I'm liable to fail and go into hell when I preach to other people. Well, all right, Lord, I'm willing to forgive, but how many times do I have to forgive them? How many times do you want to be forgiven? That's how many times we are to forgive others. Peter came to the Lord one day. You remember this. And the Lord had been teaching along these lines. And Peter said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother and he sins against me? To 7 times? And there's a lot of people scorn Peter for saying 7 times, but I want you to know 7 times is a whole lot of times to forgive the same one for stomping on your pet corner. Seven, that's once a day. For a whole week. Kicked me in the shins yesterday, doing it again today, and I've got to forgive them. Well, bless God, I'll forgive them when they ask me to forgive them. Honey, you'll forgive them right them.
Yeah.
If you want to get hold of God, he'll forgive them never ask you.
Hallelujah.
Whoa! You see, if you hold against someone else, that stops up the spout where the glory pours out.
Yeah.
And the reason you haven't felt the power of God in your life lately might be because you have failed to forgive. When I first found this, Brother Phillips, I had to go back to the time when I was a child.
Yeah, I did too.
I had to go back and forgive all the mistreatment I'd had. All my life, and every one of us has been kicked around and knocked about and walked on and talked hard to.
Yeah.
And we probably will continue, because Jesus said offenses will come. They'll be there. How then am I going to be able to forgive all this? Oh my, you know, I had to go back to people that had been in their grave for years and forgive slights and failures on their part and things that had cut me so, and I had been holding it all these years, and I didn't know I had been holding that until I began to pray. Jesus said, I say unto you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. What was he saying? He was saying, as many times as it is necessary to forgive, forgive. Now, he relates a parable in Matthew 18:23-35 about a man who owed a great debt. $50 million. So many talents, I forget, but it amounted to $50 million. And there was no way the man could pay it. And his master was taking account of his servants, counting up the debts and calling for payment. And there was no way that man could get out from under that heavy debt. He couldn't pay it. If he had paid on it all of his life, it still would not have been paid. And so, falling on his knees, he said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He said, I'll do everything I can if you'll just help me and forgive me and help me with this debt. I'll pay you a certain portion the rest of my life. And his master was moved by compassion, and he forgave him that great, enormous debt that he could never have gotten out from under. He released him. You see, he was going to be sold. Him, his wife, his children, and everything was going to be sold to pay on that debt that he owed. But he forgave him that great, humongous debt. This is symbolic of that great debt we owe God, that great indebtedness that we can never pay off. But he forgave us that great big debt. And the man that had been forgiven went out of there, I expect he was scared. He was saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And, oh, the Lord is on my side.
Hallelujah.
Who can stand against me?
Praise
he came
God.
Skipping down the street and he saw a man that owed him.
Come on now.
Owed him 200 pence. A penny ante debt. Everybody say, a penny ante debt.
A penny
ante. Yes. Something little.
Yeah.
200 pence. And he told the man, you know, every week, if you see somebody that owes you some money, when you run up on them, that's the first thing that pops in your head. Yeah. That's the first thing. That guy owes me money.
Yeah.
And if you see somebody that you owe, that's the first thing that pops in your head when you see them. If you can't pay them, you dodge them. But that's not the way. If we can't pay it or pay on it, we talk with them about it.
Yeah.
We tell them we can't.
Yeah.
Keep everything just as honest in the eyes of God and man as we possibly can. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this servant saw a fellow servant that owed him money. And he went to him and laid his hands on him, the Bible said. And he said, pay me what you owe me. And his friend said, the same words that this fellow just had got done saying to his master, he said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But he said, the book says, he would not.
Right.
He would not. You see, he made a moral decision right there.
Right.
He would not forgive that debt.
Right.
Oh. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me.
Yeah.
The man couldn't pay it. And then they put folks in jail for not paying their debts. And he had him bound and delivered to the tormentors.
Yeah.
And many of you think you know who the tormentors are.
Yeah.
That's when you got a debt that seems like you can't get it paid to save your life, and those guns keep coming in.
Yeah.
They just keep coming in and coming in. Tormentors.
Yeah.
They just keep on coming in. Well, you're laughing, but you'll remember it.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Oh, that man who had been forgiven. You see, somebody else saw that going on.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody always sees it. Can't ever hide nothing.
Amen.
And it'll finally get back to your pastor. No matter if it's what you do, it'll get back. Somebody be so glad to tell.
Yeah, that's right. Come on. Whopping.
So you may as well just do what's right and forget it. Or do as you would do if your pastor were standing beside you.
Amen.
Or your pastor's wife. Do behave yourself as you would if they were standing next to you. Oh, my Lord. When we refuse to forgive, we place that person in bondage.
Yeah.
When we refuse to forgive them what they owe us. But that man was told on.
Yeah.
And the master was wroth. That means mad. That man was mad.
Yeah.
Here he had forgiven all that $50 million and he wouldn't forgive 200 men some. And he sent for him, said, you go tell that guy, I said, come back here. And they told him, the master wants to see you. Oh, yeah, that fellow's good buddies. Yeah, he likes me. He wants to talk to me again.
Yeah.
Back he went. He went skipping in the judgment hall as happy and free as a bird. But the master said, I forgave you that great debt. How is it that you have failed to forgive that one who owed you a little debt? And he reversed the decision. I'm all in bondage. Oh, Lord. So we want to forgive, don't we?
Yes, we do.
You know something? That debt of sin we have against God is greater than any other debt we could incur whatsoever. Jesus said the one soul was worth the whole world.
Amen.
And you put a soul in the balance scale and the whole world on the other side,
Amen.
That soul will outweigh. Oh, Jesus. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Right.
I needed someone to take my sins away.
Yeah.
Now I can sing a brand new song.
Yeah.
Amazing Grace.
Yes.
Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
We can only forgive at the same level that we are forgiven. This is the only level. Isaiah put a price tag on there in the 53rd chapter. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yes. Yeah.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Yeah.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have at one time been astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I didn't know when I was refusing Christ that I was laying all those stripes on his back. I didn't realize, but he was good to forgive me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, forgiveness is not an act of emotion. Sometimes we do things when our emotion's high, you know, that we wouldn't ordinarily do. Sometimes the Lord gets to blessing me in the pulpit, and I'll make, statements, and I come out of it and think, Lord, did I say that? But forgiveness is not an act of emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the will.
Right.
I'm going to show you right now how we can do it.
Come on.
Every day when you're praying and going along your jogging track of prayer. You see, you've been sinned against, and I have, and everybody has. But on our knees, we're going to say, Lord, we say it out loud, I'm going to forgive everyone who will sin against me today. We don't wait till we get in the heat of the conflict and stand toe to toe with Satan. But if we have forgiven on our knees that one that's going to offend us,
yeah.
When they offend us, it's easy. It's easy.
Yeah.
I've already forgiven that.
Yes. Glory to God.
I've already got that under the blood.
Hallelujah.
And I can get along with them.
Hallelujah.
Get along with everybody all the time. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When you forgive, you become a candidate for the supernatural. You see, when you get to where you can spend time with God, supernatural things begin to happen in your life.
Yeah.
Then you appropriate or take the promises of God. Then when you pray for the sick, they get up and their sins are forgiven. Then you see visions of angels and of godly things. Then the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to have to start swimming here. It's getting so deep. But this is it, children. When we are in this position. Now, if we are in a spirit of anger, resentment, unforgiveness, we're letting that rule our lives. But that is being today defied by the Spirit of God. Anytime when we see somebody, something wells up inside of us, that's the time to go away somewhere and get hold of God.
Amen.
And get it out of the way right there so that you can go on. Oh, yes. And let me tell you something I have learned on my own, and God has revealed it, but I have seen it personally. A spirit of resentment makes a way for unclean spirits, demons, and devils to afflict you.
Right.
It starts with a spirit of resentment and unforgiveness.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, my. Well, I don't have time to give you examples that have happened to me and how I learned and where, but I'll tell you sometime if you want to, I'll come to the house or call me and I'll be glad to tell you. You see, what we really need to do is get hold of all those people that have offended us as though they were a flock of birds. I can't use both hands. Brother Reddy, stand up and get your hands out this way. Now he's gathered up all the people that have offended him, just like, and make a cage of your hands, just like he's got them in that cage now, everybody that's offended him. And he's saying, Lord, I can't do a thing with them, so I'm going to forgive them and release them to you.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God.
Oh,
hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And when we do this, we feel a release in our own spirit. We are forgiving.
That's right.
Oh, thank God, because he's forgiven all my sins. Don't you? Yeah. I glorify him. Hallelujah. But remember, when you set your will to forgive,
yeah,
and start praying for those offenders, then your spirit begins to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And we can be drawn out of ourselves, out of our own human frailties, over into the Spirit of Almighty God, able to do what God has put in our lives for us to do.
Amen.
Oh, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honey, get off the pity party.
Yeah, come on.
But you see, that old spirit of self-pity will come crawling back to you.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. How many times did I go back weeping, Lord? You know how I've been mistreated.
Oh,
my. And here I was doing so good. Now I've been mistreated and I'm wounded and I'm bleeding and I couldn't get that prayer through to save me. Sure, you're wounded. Sure, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Sure, you're hurting.
Yeah.
You're not in heaven yet.
Oh, right.
If everything were just exactly right, you wouldn't want to go. The story is told of an elderly gentleman in a church, and he worked for that church from his infancy. And through his influence alone, half of the church was there. And he built, and he gave, and he did, and every so loyal and so faithful to attend services and to give of what he had. Oh, Lord.
Mom.
An evangelist who had been coming through the years came back and was not there. And he asked the pastor, what happened to this brother? And the pastor said, well, I think God's blessed him so much that he's got satisfied to stay here. I'm not satisfied to stay here. You hear me?
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
Even at the very best, it's not a patch on what we'll have in glory.
Even
it's not at its best. Very seldom have I seen it at its best.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can have hours and days of contentment and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. But usually there's something fractious all the time.
Yeah.
So you get a good prayer going and the telephone rings.
Yeah.
The doorbell rings.
Come on.
Know what I do? I never take the telephone off the hook except during my prayer hour. And then it goes off. I've had people come out, I've been trying to get you for an hour. Where were you? I was visiting.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
I was off visiting, honey. being fed with my soul. Well, Jesus told us something that we've overlooked in Matthew 5:44. He said, you love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see, when that member of your very family comes against you because of your church affiliation, maybe you never had that. I really had to fight that battle. The people in your own household come against you because you're right. There are those who are despisers of them that are good.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what the book said.
That's
nice. And we have to come against that. Sometimes it's in our very own home. One of my boys, and I hate to confess this, but I'll tell it. One of my own boys was speaking out of turn to me and talking mighty hard to me one day. It just rose up in me. Lord, I've raised that boy from the time before he could walk, and I've sacrificed and done for him, and here he is talking to me like this. And the Spirit said, he is enemy of your soul. He wasn't really coming
right
against me, my boy.
Right.
Wasn't coming against me. But the spirit of Satan
right
was coming against the spirit of God.
Right. That's it.
And that battle was taking place in my dining room.
Yeah.
And when I learned that, then love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you.
Yes.
And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That neighbor that ran the children down and told them they were nothing and their parents were nothing.
Yeah.
And when the children told me, I wept, because when somebody steps on the children, they're stepping on the heart.
Oh, yeah.
I wept and I went away and began to pray for her. I didn't want to pray for her, a faithful thing.
Yeah. Come on.
See, I had to ask God to forgive me first.
Yeah, come on.
And then I began to pray for her, and I'm going to let you out soon. I'm trying to hurry. I began to pray for her. And I prayed until I could have a right feeling toward her.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on.
That's it. That's it.
And two nights later, I worked until 10 p.m. at night at that time in a plant. And when I got home, she was standing on her porch. Her baby had a fever of 105.
Yeah.
And it wasn't old Holy Roller now. Uh-huh. It was, Miss Carver, yeah, will you pray for my baby? Oh, God's got a way of paying it back, honey.
Yes, he has.
God's got a way of paying it back, honey.
Hallelujah.
When we release those to him who have done us wrong and give them into his hands, he will attend to it.
Yeah, he
said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath.
Oh, yes. Yes.
For vengeance is mine. I will repay,
said
the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord said.
Like the little boy that met the insurance man at the door, and the man was insisting on a payment, and the little fella said, my daddy tends to all that. So when Satan comes by me, I say, my father is tending to that.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and praise him.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Now, we haven't had.
Urikiriyo, sataya, darana, mahutaya. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, children, walk softly, the Holy Ghost wants this service. Everyone is obeying the Lord. Everyone is moving when he says move. I sense the Spirit of God at this place. And he is calling several people to an altar of prayer who have been mistreated and have been unable to find a place to forgive that mistreatment. Thus saith the Lord, I see your heart and I know what has happened to you. And I will help you and I will give you strength. I am giving you an opportunity now to come to me and get rid of this. Oh, I thank you, Holy Ghost. Come here to this altar now, saith God. I have given you this opportunity. Come now. Everybody standing quietly, reverently. If you have a need from God, honey, if I were you, I'd hit this altar on the run. If you need to be able to forgive somebody, if you have something you need to be forgiven of, and we've not had many.